Part 6. The Deep. The mind, that ocean where each kind does straight its own resemblance find, yet it creates, transcending these, far other worlds and other seas. Andrew Marvell. 19. As soon as Memmor sat down, she noted that the late invader Tananarive was carefully watching the bulk contriver Bemor settle into place. Bulging eyes, lips tight pressed and white, body tensed as if ready to flee, Tananarive showed the classic primate fear signals. Fair enough. Being the smallest creature in the ample cavern, more slight even than surf ones, must draw up primordial dreads of being trampled. Memmor tossed Tananarive some glossy sweat fruit to ease her trembling. She took it, bit, considered the taste, gave a small smile. No sign of gratitude, however. Intelligence generally emerged on worlds only after earlier forms exploited the advantages of being large, slow, and stupid. Size was a ready defense, inspiring no selection pressure toward more complex neurosystems and forward-seeing capability. Indeed, Memmor had learned about such creatures as Tananarive in her study immersions. They were among the class that built models of their external world, all the better to predict where food might lie, or what predators might do, and still later what others of their kind would think of them. Somewhere along that axis of change, their internal models learned that other creatures also had models running behind their anxious eyes. Thus emerged advanced societies.
"We merely wish to question you about aspects of your species," Memmor said as a preliminary.
"That last session, where you slapped me with that pain gun? Was that asking questions?"
"You understand, we were developing, quite successfully, I must remark, a tool to use in making contact with the others of your kind."
"They're still alive?"
The primate seemed to honestly doubt.
"Of course. They are taking their pleasure with the travel about our vast lands."
"You haven't caught them, have you?"
One of Tananarive's least attractive qualities, as a medium-level intelligence, was her way of leaping ahead in a discussion.
"We have not exerted sufficient effort to capture them, if that is what you mean. They did elude us at the very moment we took custody of you late visitors. We decided to let them remain at large, as experience of our wonders is the best lesson we can give."
"Do you understand our word, Smug?"
"I do. Our reading of your entire dictionary, both active that you use and passive that you merely recognize, shows you have levels of nuance."
Memmor had meant this as a compliment, but Tananarive gave a dry little cackle that meant derision.
"I think you should consider our relative status before invoking your smug word."
Smug is as smug does."
This elliptical remark brought a dismissive rumble from Bemor. Memmor's twin, though still held at the male first life, let his words sprawl forward, languid, as if he wished the small audience to savor them.
"We desire your counsel, little smart monkey. Your fellows have done harm to several castes, from serf prime to even a few at the lower rungs of the folk. All this," abruptly Bemor belched out a bass snarl, "because they would not submit to diplomatic engagements."
Tananarive laughed again.
"Loud bluster is still just bluster."
Memmor admired how Bemor did not allow emotion to flare further in his speech. This was evidence of an undermined fully and well integrated, unlike the turmoil Memmor felt bubbling up from her own. His voice and feather display suddenly smoothed, becoming a cool refrain.
"I wish you all now to focus upon our slow, steady response to the Glorian crisis. This goal we have long sought, for it is the plentiful world long observed but never understood, and so we pursue it."
"Because we seek the origin of the gravitational messages," Asenoth interjected. "And now the electromagnetic sendings from Glory are so simple we can at least decipher those, yet they do not speak to us."
Bemor allowed this interruption, though only marginally within conversation protocols, and gave a feather rush of agreement.
"Indeed, as we approach, suddenly these late invaders appear in our skies. So arrive the primates in their adroitly engineered magnetic funnel fusion rammer, and we receive a message from our destination. The simple drawings carried in electromagnetic coatings are of the primates, not of the bowl. These two events are not coincidences.
They come so very close together in the great abyss of galactic time.
Bimor reclined in his chute, easing his bulk.
The Glorians convey a strange warning message. As Memor noted, they warn away these smart monkeys, but not we of the bowl. So we must act. The vectors of our circumstance demand so.
Memor turned to Tananarive. Your expedition knew none of this?
Right, Tananarive said, eyeing them both warily. What do you call it? Bowl? That was enough.
Memor began. Their story is that they did not suspect our presence or trajectory. As well, their ship lacked supplies.
I know all of that.
Bimor gave a feather-fan shrug.
And their star ramship rode a prow of ionization that absorbed the microwave emissions we saw, so they could not have received them in flight. Their own communications are simple digital amplitude-modulated laser beams, and those are directed back toward their star, not ahead.
He waved an arm fan at Tananarive.
You have said your ship did not receive messages from your homeworld for a long time, then did. Why?
Political instability, we think. We did send reports, but apparently our people went through a phase of no interest in the interstellar expeditions.
She sat stiffly, Memor noted, as though reluctant to admit this.
Bimor looked skeptical, his eyes turned upward derisively, though Memor knew Tananarive could not interpret this.
Why this lack of concern?
Bimor saw this primate was unable to follow their discourse, and so waxed prolific in his remarks.
Memor cocked a scarlet at him in ironic interest, for this was unusual for him.
Bimor said, We have only a few long-flight expeditions such as this one. Most are from stars we pass nearby who see us in their night sky. Those mountain expedition, those who have interplanetary abilities. In that sense we inspire progress among slumbering civilizations simply by appearing to them in passing. Those that have arrived had great trouble living in the biospheres they found, microbial mismatches, food production difficulties, and some unknown health problems.
But we did receive a message about the time we discovered your bowl.
Tananarive was still edgy, and yielded this information only, Memor saw, because she feared Bimor. Something about an inherent caution with males?
Bimor's rank musk was a bit overpowering. Or had the earlier pain gun incident made this primate more willing to cooperate? If so, it had been a good move.
Ah, the primates did not expect to receive signals from Glory, suggesting that this is their first attempt to reach that star.
So? Bimor turned to Tananarive and whispered in her tongue, I hope you are telling true.
She returned his gaze.
Right. We're the first expedition. Your bowl. We knew none of this.
You had no plan when you invaded our paradise?
Tananarive snorted.
The team I was in, Beth Marble's team, until we escaped, we had as much control over what happened as a kitten does on a clothes dryer. Cliff's team is showing you what we can do, I hear.
Bimor gave a bemused eye flutter with his delicate purple fringe.
I saw in your vessel a high level of ingenuity, more than expected of first-stage intelligences.
Which is?
Curiosity, as you display in that admirable simple phrase. Artifice in magnetic engineering, particularly the ingenious flux conservation mechanism in your scoop. We have studied it, following the fluorescence of decaying ions, and so mapped your magnetic artifice. Your configuration can navigate on the skimpy ion density gathered from our star. Admirable.
Tananarive blinked, unsure how to respond. Memor began,
I, too, am surprised that you managed to—
Moving on,
Bimor said, turning away from Tananarive and Memor alike.
I believe you, Asenoth, have questions for the primate?
Asenoth fluttered forward, glad of some attention, finally, Memor guessed. She questioned Tananarive, with Memor supervising occasionally, and learned nothing new. Bimor became bored. They were still close enough in manner, since, after all, they shared the same genetics, for Memor to know that Bimor was remaining politely present, but in fact was importing signals from elsewhere in the Citadel, perhaps from superiors?
This late invader is most useful for studies of the structure of her mind,
Memor said, trying to introduce what was for her the most original late invader trait, their submerged and unreachable unconscious. But Asenath went on, her agenda becoming apparent.
The message from Glory is aimed at primates. The Glorians think primates are running the bull.
Cackles, hoots, coughs, and murmurs. General hilarity even among the assistants, who normally suppressed any show.
Good, Asenath said. Let them keep that misapprehension. Make the true rulers ourselves unpredictable.
We surely are that,
Beemore said sardonically. Yet something in his tone conveyed ironic skepticism. Asenath made a submission display flutter, but it was unconvincing.
Ideal setting for an entire suite of deception maneuvers, yes. We will need cooperation of the primates to bring this off.
Beemore turned to the primate and said in its tongue,
You follow this?
Memor was surprised that Beemore articulated the alien fricative consonants quite well, directing breath with his tongue over the sharp edge of the teeth and into the capture hollows of his cheeks. It gave Beemore a solemn, echoing way of pronouncing the rather simple constructions the primates could manage. Memor had taken several sleep times to master that, and her words still came out reedy and thin. Worse, the primate understood Beemore immediately, saying,
I don't know your language.
So Beemore gave a guarded version of their conversation, keeping it minimal, giving away nothing, omitting, of course, anything the primate could use. Artfully done, Memor had to admit. Tananarive's first comment was a question.
What about the light speed problem?
Beemore said,
We think long. Perhaps few of us will live to arrive near Glory.
So you want to reply to their signal? Deceive them?
Memor felt the primate showed insufficient respect for their company, but Asenath chose that moment to recover some role in the conversation.
My team is putting together a response for Glory. No great hurry. But there may be a time limit.
Tananarive shot back.
What if the Glorians send out an exploring expedition of their own?
We can surely see it well in advance and defend properly,
Asenath said, with a fan flutter and ivory that said, Such is obvious.
You know about the gravity waves, right?
Beemore said,
You imply we should be wary of what weapons they might have?
Tananarive stood, stretched, plucked some sweat fruit from an ample bowl. A show of indifference? Perhaps this was all the primate could do, since it could not give feather displays or more subtle signals. With a mouth partly full of the fruit, a grave social error for the folk, she said,
Well, I sure would be.
I believe, Asenath said, and Contriver Beemore may amend this, that the Lambda Spear can be revived.
Beemore made a ring show of blue and green, meaning yes. For he knew the primate could not grasp this.
What's that?
Tananarive said.
It is a truly terrible device, able to alter the fundamental constants of a small region of space-time upon command,
Memor put in. Her eyes widened.
You use this? How?
With great care, obviously, Beemore said. We can project such an effect only over long distances, so to avoid being in the realm affected— It is appropriate for defense on a system-wide scale.
It comes to us, Memor added, from the time of terror. I'd love to hear the story, Tananarive said.
I can show you a worked example of how we avoid such dark times soon enough,
Asenath said with a mild feather rustle.
I have an appointment at a justice rendering. Duty summons.